Again, welcome everybody to the broadcast. You guys watching via by Facebook Live and you guys watching by YouTube. We want to welcome you to the broadcast. If this is your first time joining us, please let me know below and wave to us or say I'm new or whatever the case may be so we can acknowledge that you are new to the broadcast. Again, this is End Time Headlines and or Remnant Revival Ministries. I want to deal with the second part of a message I began last week called Every Man's Battle. Why every man should make a covenant with his eyes. You can go back and watch this. It's archived on our YouTube channel. You can find our YouTube channel at Remnant Revival Ministries. Just type that in and it'll bring it up. You can find this on our website, remnantrevival.org. And we talked about how Job made a covenant with his eyes, and that's where we got our foundational scripture from. So today, and we dealt with the 10 reasons why I believe we should make a covenant with our eyes. We went through the first five, and let me recap that. I'm not going to go. Let me give you the top five reasons, and then we're going to get into 6 through 10. Number one, why we should make a covenant with our eyes is it gives us peace with God. We have peace with God knowing that we are not committing adultery with our eyes. Come on, Jesus said, if any man looks upon another woman or a woman looks upon another man, they have already committed adultery in their heart. Okay, so you have peace with God. Number two, it gives us a greater level of intimacy with the Lord. Again, you can have confidence in your prayer. You can have confidence in his presence. You can have this confidence and this assurance in your heart. And you can find that in 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. You can have a greater level of intimacy with the Lord when you're guarding your eyes and you've made a covenant with your eyes. Number three, it gives us a greater level of intimacy with our spouse. The Bible says that the marriage is to be honorable among all and the bed undefiled, okay? So it will give you a greater intimacy. Come on. When you've saved your eyes and you've saved your heart towards your spouse, to your spouse, and you've not given it to everybody else, come on, you'd be surprised what kind of fire will be back in your relationship. Come on, somebody. Let's just get real here. Number four. Confidence in your prayer life. How many knows you can't have confidence in your prayer life if you've been committing adultery all day with your eyes, looking at this, looking at that, watching this, looking at that video, looking at these magazines, looking at these videos, looking at these websites, clicking on this. Come on. Number five, it gives us a deeper level of intimacy in worship. Come on, you can go in the presence of God. You can lift up your hands and immediately feel the presence of God because the Bible says, who can ascend into the hill of the Lord but he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who's not defiled his heart? Come on. So you can have that greater level of intimacy. But on the other hand, if you have been guilty of committing adultery with your eyes and lust in your heart, that when you enter into the house of God or even in your own home, when you try to enter into a time of worship, the devil is going to whip up on you with condemnation. Your heart is going to condemn you. Therefore, God is greater than your heart. Again, 1 John 3 talks about this. Okay, now, so since we've built number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, today I want to bring this message on home with the second part of this, and we're going to talk about 6 through 10 on why that we need to make a covenant with our eyes. So here's our foundational scripture as we get into this thing, as we're going to go into 6 through 10. Go with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 7, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. This translation really brings out a lot of scriptures that sometimes the King James makes a little bit more difficult to get into or whatnot. So it's adding no harm to the scripture, guys. Trust me, I'm a King James individual. I like New King James, and I always try to proofread. I'll read through some translations, and if it nails it, it nails it. And we're going to bring this out. Proverbs 7, New Living Translation. Now, this is Solomon reading. This is Solomon speaking to his son. He says, follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Or this is Solomon reading this. I'm sorry. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Interesting. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder with them deep within your heart. Love wisdom like a sister and make insight a beloved member of your family. Let them protect you from an affair with an immoral woman, from listening to the flattery of a promiscuous woman. Now, notice he says wisdom and instructions will keep you from falling victim to an affair with an immoral woman and being seduced by the flattery of a promiscuous woman. Notice that there's it deals with her words and her speech. And again, this is not just women, but there's some smooth talkers. Consequently and ironically enough, Solomon was a smooth talker. I mean, the dude had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Some people say 1,000 wives, basically the same thing. So he was a smooth talker. Have you ever read the Song of Solomon? There's a reason why this dude had 1,000 wives. So if anyone knows about flattery and smooth talking, it was Solomon. Now listen what he says. While I was at the window of my house looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. So I just want to tell someone, listen, if you're going to play with fire, you're going to get burnt. Listen, if you struggle with lust, you don't need to be somewhere where you're going to fall prey to lust. Come on. How many believes that if you were an alcoholic, it would be very dumb and unwise for you to be hanging out in a bar or a club or somewhere where they're serving a lot of alcohol? And at the same token, if you struggle with lust, you struggle with pornography, you struggle with immorality, you struggle with these sexual sins, the last thing you need to be, you don't need to be around some beach where there's half-naked people walking around. You don't need to be at a strip club. You don't need to be somewhere where there is, come on, there's half-dressed women, and I'm going to talk about the women in just a second, all over the place. So notice that Solomon said, I looked and saw a young man. Come on, lust comes after you when you're young. He doesn't wait till you're fully matured. He doesn't wait. Come on, lust doesn't wait until you're fully matured. The devil doesn't wait until you're a strong Christian or that you've got everything lined up and you've got the full armor of God. No, he comes at you when you're 6 years of age, 5 years of age, 7 years of age, 8 years of age. He comes to you when you're an early age, when you're just a little boy, when you're just a little girl. And then his demons and his devils and all of hell will be released and try to release an assignment against a young generation. Come on, young boys and young girls, and try to get them involved in pornography and get involved into immorality at a young age. Why? Because they're easily shaped, they're easily molded, they're easily influenced, and the seed can be planted in an early age so that when they're older, they're already in bondage to lust before they even reach puberty. So it's no wonder that we've got an epidemic of pornography and young people, even at the age of 10, 12, 13 years of age, that are going on pornographic sites and they're bound by it. They have smartphones in their hands and they've always got easy accessibility to it. They're sexting one another. Come on, they're sending pictures. They're sending lewd images to one another. Where do you think all this stems from? Again, there's a root to it. There's a seed there that's always involved before there's a full blooming and even the book of James talk about this. It talks about every man is drawn away when he's enticed by his own lust. Sin comes in seed form, and then when it's fully grown and fully produced, it produces death. And the enemy knows this, guys. And this is why Solomon says, I saw a young man, and notice he was going in the path of the woman. Why do you think Joseph, when lust came knocking at his door, when lust came pursuing him with a vengeance, the Bible says that he ran from it. With his clothes left in her hand, he hit the door and ran the opposite direction. Golly, I just got to tell somebody. See, the reason why some of y'all can't get victory over pornography, you can't get victory over lust, you can't get victory over these sins, is because when you've been lurking at the door all day long, when you've been sneaking a peek here, when you've been feeding the lust on websites, feeding it on your cell phone, watching things on television, you've been scratching that itch, and you've been feeding this demon over and over again. So then when bigger devils show up, instead of them showing up in your electronic device, come on, they come knocking at your door. They come as the secretary in your office. They come as a woman in church. They come as your next door neighbor. They come as somebody in the school. When they show up, come on, with that same spirit on them, like we're going to talk about here in Proverbs 7, listen, If you've been guarding your eyes, have made a covenant with your eyes, flee from adultery, flee for immorality, shut the computer off, turn that away, friends, then when it shows up at your front door, you can easily shut the door in the face of old Jezebel and Delilah and say, get lost. I know what you are attempting to do. But friends, if you've been scratching that all day, looking at that all day, delving into that all day, friends, if you can't get victory in the private place, you'll never get victory in the public place. So notice it says that he was crossing the street near her house, strolling the path by her house. Somebody say, I got to run, I got to get away, and I got to avoid her path. Verse 9 is very interesting. Listen to this. It was at twilight in the evening as deep darkness fell. You ever notice? Listen, it's interesting how lust operates. You could go all day, never be tempted. You're going through work, going through your rituals, going, doing your errands. You're having a great day. But as soon as the sun goes down, as soon as your spouse goes to bed, as soon as the kids go to bed, as soon as it gets dark at evening and twilight, come on, that's when the junk comes on television that you ain't got no business watching. Come on, we used to call it Skinamax. What you would call Cinemax, we used to call it Skinamax. That's when all the bad stuff would come on television. That's when idle hands begin to get you in trouble. That's when the remote will get you in trouble. That's when the bars are getting full. That's when the clubs are getting warmed up. That's when the devil is lurking. It says it was at twilight. It was in the evening. It was when deep darkness fell. Verse 10, watch this. The woman approached him seductively dressed and sly of heart. I got to tell somebody today, the devil is lurking. He's looking. He's pursuing you. Listen, God knows your weaknesses, but can I give you a revelation? Guess who else knows your weaknesses? The devil, the enemy, the adversary, the roaring lion who's going to and fro and seeking who he may devour. Notice it says the woman approached him. So lust is looking for you, friend. It's knocking at your door. Are you going to open the door? Are you going to keep it shut? Lust is looking at you, lurking for you at the mall. It's lurking for you at church. Yes, I said church, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second. It's lurking for you everywhere you go. It doesn't play fair. The enemy does not play fair. Listen, let me give you a true story. years ago when I lived in Cleveland, Tennessee, we went to a park and we pulled up. I've never been to this park before. And it was myself, my wife, my two sons. We pulled up to this park. And as soon as we pulled up, there was a heaviness about this park. I told my wife, I said, there is something wrong here. There's an oppressive atmosphere. It feels weird. I don't know about this. So we went walking around the park, and again, this heaviness was just there, and it's never lifted off. And then eventually, they had these restrooms, and my oldest son said I had to go to the restroom, and I said, okay, I'll go with you. So I went in, and when I walked in, there's only one stall. There's only one stall with a door, and I walked in. I was the first one to walk in, and when I walked in, right there on the floor by the toilet of the stall was a hardcore pornographic magazine. So I immediately reached down, grabbed this thing, and threw it into the trash as quick as I could because he was coming right behind me, and I was thinking, my God, could you imagine what would have happened if I would have just let him go in there first? I would have never known that was in there. He would have went in there and he'd been exposed to that. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the devil will lay traps. He will lay snares, and he likes to plant seeds at an early age. You listen to me. He doesn't play fair. So then I'm like, wow, well, that's not, you know, it just made that feeling even more. So then I found out that this park was a cesspool of sexual immorality. And it's so bad, guys, that I'm not even publicly, I don't even feel comfortable talking about how bad it is. So that's why there was an oppressive atmosphere. And needless to say, we never went back to it again. Let me move on here. Proverbs 7. The woman approached him seductively dressed in sly of heart, and she was the brash, rebellious type. She was never content to stay at home. She's often in the streets and she's in the markets and she's soliciting in every corner. She threw her arms around this young man and kissed him. And with a brazen look, listen what she says, quote, I've just made my peace offerings and fulfilled my vows. You're the one I was looking for. Imagine that. I came out to find you. And here you are. Listen what she says. My bed is spread with beautiful blankets, with colored sheets of Egyptian linen. I perfume my bed with myrrh and aloe and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until the morning. Come on, nobody's going to know. Nobody's around. Nobody will ever know. Listen to this. Let's enjoy each other's caresses. Listen to this. For my husband is not home. He's away on a long trip. He's taking a wallet full of money with him, and he's not going to return until later this month. So she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. He followed her at once like an ox to the slaughter. He was like a stag caught in a trap, awaiting the arrow that would pierce its heart. He was like a bird flying and being caught in a snare. Little did he know it would cost him his life. Golly. This is Solomon, Proverbs 7. So listen to me, my sons, and pay attention to my words. Don't let your hearts stray away towards her. Don't wander down her path. For she, this is the most frightening part right here. Let me read this. For she has been the ruin or the destruction of many. Many men have been her victims. Now your King James says many, many great men of valor, strong men. Come on. I'm talking about leaders. I'm talking about prophets. I'm talking about apostles. I'm talking about pastors. I'm talking about evangelists. Remember the story. Remember in the 80s when some televangelists came and they confessed of committing adultery with women, and remember the ripple effect it made in the church. He says, she has been the destruction of many. Many men have fallen victim. Listen to this in verse 27. Her house is the road to the grave. Her bedroom is the den of death. Now I'm going to read this same verse from the New King James. Listen what it says. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Did you hear that? Her house, her path is the way to hell. My goodness. All right, so now I want to go back because I want to give you 6 through 10. All right, 6 through 10. That was our foundation. Now we're going to plow for the next 10 minutes, and I'm going to give you 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, why every man should make a covenant with his eyes. If you're just joining us and you say, I never heard number 1 through 5, you need to go back and listen to the broadcast previous on. You can find this on our YouTube channel or our main website. Number 6, if you're taking notes. Number 6, why we should make a covenant with our eyes. It sets an example to our children. Come on, I don't know about you, but I want my sons to see that I am a man that has not succumbed to lust, that I'm not falling victim to lust. I'm not chasing a path to lust. When they walk in the other room, I don't have to quickly grab the remote and change the channel because I'm looking at something I shouldn't be looking at. I don't have to quickly, click off of something because I'm looking at something on the laptop that I shouldn't be looking at. I don't have to quickly erase my history on my phone. Come on, somebody. But I can lay my head at night knowing that I'm setting an example to my sons and setting a standard for them to see. Train up in a child and the way in which they should go, that when they're older, they shall not depart from it. They see, that your kids will see that you're a husband or you're a wife that respects and honors your spouse and honors your God in which you serve. So number 6, it sets an example to your children, to the next generation. Number 7, it keeps the door to demons closed in your home. Listen, if you want to open a door to demons into your home, just start looking at pornography. Start watching that filth on your phone, on your laptop, on your desktop, on your television. You begin to entertain this stuff. You just laid a welcome mat for demons, devils, destruction, sickness, poverty, and all kinds of stuff to come right into your home. And again, And then you'll go through a battle and you'll try to loose and you'll try to bind and you'll try to rebuke and you'll try to cast out devils. Listen, honey, you can't cast out something that you willfully welcomed into your home. So the devil's sitting on your couch eating a bowl of popcorn with the remote in your hand, watching television with you, laughing at you while you're trying to rebuke him to get him out of your house. Listen, even God said you can't resist the devil and expect him to flee unless you're first submitted unto him. So submitted unto him in this area. So number 7, it keeps the door to the devil closed in your home. It's one thing to deal with demons out there, but it's another thing to allow them to come right into your home. Number 8. By making a covenant with our eyes, it keeps the favor and blessing of the Lord upon our lives. Remember in the book of Job, Job said that he implied that if I have not been faithful with my eyes and I have lusted in my heart, he said, let another man come and take my spoils. Let him come and take my increase. Let him come and have his way with my wife. In other words, come on. The opposite of this is when we don't guard our eyes, we don't make a covenant with the eyes, and we're committing adultery in our hearts, then it opens a door for poverty and for everything else. We can't listen, and we wonder why we can't keep the favor of God upon our lives. You think God's going to give us favor and blessing when we're violating his very word? And that brings me to number 9. Okay, number 9 is when we walk in covenant with God and we've guarded our eyes, we are walking in obedience to God. Let me say that again. We're walking into obedience with God. Let me give you some scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God. I want you to say this with me. Just lay this, lay your hand on your heart right now and say this with me. Say, for this is the will of God. Now, stop. When he says this is the will of God, it means everything he says after this, because he says, for this is the will of God. Now he's about to tell you. So you don't have to ask God, well, God, is it your will that I do this? Ready? Number 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. I know preachers don't preach on it, churches don't touch on it, but sanctification, it means to be set apart for God. It means to be consecrated. It means to be holy. It means to be righteous. It means to be pure. It means to walk in right standing with God. It means come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. Again, churches don't touch on it, and preachers won't preach on it, but sanctification is still a principle and a core principle of the early church, and I believe it was never done away with, and we should be continuing sanctification. Sanctification is a process. It's not a one-time deal. You go, come on, and you say yes to Jesus, and you're completely sanctified. No, it is a process. Somebody say it's a process. You die daily. There's things that God sanctified me of through his grace and mercy, through the blood of Jesus, that came later on in my walk with God that did not come initially when I first gave my heart to Jesus. Now listen, let me go back. For this is the will of God, my sanctification, listen to this, and that you should abstain from sexual immorality. So, number one, it's the will of God that you be sanctified. Number two, it's the will of God that you abstain from sexual immorality. Again, for everybody that's just watching this, what is sexual immorality? Sexual immorality can be fornication. It means sleeping with someone, having sex with someone outside of marriage, whether it's a man, whether it's a woman. Okay? Number two, adultery, sleeping with another individual's spouse. That's adultery. That's considered sexual immorality. Number three, homosexuality, bestiality, sodomy, pornography. All these things are sexual immorality. And they were condemned in the Gospels, by the early church, and they're, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. People say, well, nowhere in the Bible did Jesus preach on these things. You know why? He didn't have to. Because he expects you and I to have more common sense than that. But the Apostle Paul dealt with it. The Apostle Peter dealt with this. Come on, somebody. So they are mentioned in the New Testament. Book of Romans talks about this. 1 Corinthians talks about this. 1 Peter talks about this. 2 Peter talks about this. The book of Revelation talks about Jezebel committing adultery with the prophets. So it's mentioned in the New Testament. Good heaven, friend, wake up. Well, Jesus didn't preach on it. Come on, somebody. He didn't need to. The apostles preached on it. All right? Now listen to verse 4. This is the will of God. See if you're following with me. Number one, this is the will of God. What? Your sanctification. Number two, this is the will of God that you abstain from sexual immorality. Number three, watch this. Number four, verse four, I'm sorry, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. You ready for this? This is going to ruffle some feathers. Grace is not only, listen, for all the hyper-grace folks that say grace is so strong that it keeps you from hell, well, you know what? If it's so strong that it keeps you from hell, how come it's not strong enough to keep you in purity? God gives us grace to walk out sanctification and self-control, to possess our own vessel in sanctification and honor. You ready for this? We have a part to play. I know nobody. Well, brother, we are saved by works. We are saved by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. And then they sit down. They don't have to fight any devils. They don't have to have any self-control. They don't have to guard their eyes. They don't have to abstain from anything. They don't have to crucify the flesh. They don't have to put it to death. They don't have to do any of these things. But guys, the entire New Testament is totally contrary to that teaching. Even in 1 John, it says, it is not yet known what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, speaking of Yeshua, the Messiah, when he appears as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when his resurrection body, it is not yet known what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be likened unto him. Now listen to the next verse. And he that has this hope purifies himself. Somebody say they purify themselves. In other words, guys, grace is waiting for us. Hope is waiting for us. Mercy is waiting on us. The Holy Spirit is waiting for you and I to take faith without works is dead. James said, if you show me your faith, I'll show you my works. And if you show me your works, I'll show you my faith. They go hand in hand to bring you the victory. I can't expect God to do all the work. Listen, if I'm going to pray and ask God to deliver me and set me free from lust and from pornography and from adultery and from all these things, you think God is going to just sit, if you think you're just going to sit back and God's just going to take that desire from you and you don't have to do anything. You don't have to guard your eyes. You don't have to watch, to observe what you're watching on television. You don't have to honor your marriage. You don't have to do any of these things. Listen, you are in for a rude awakening, my friends. You are going to be shipwrecked in the faith quicker than you can blink an eye. But what's sad is this watered-down gospel that we have today is teaching people this. And this is why they're falling by the wayside and they're not achieving victory. So listen, if you came on this broadcast today and you expected me to tell you that grace has got you, and it's got you where you can live however you want. You can keep fornicating, keep committing adultery. You can keep watching your pornography, and you can keep being unfaithful to your wife. And hallelujah, you're just going to slip on into heaven. Praise the Lord, because grace has got you. Then I'm sorry, I'm not the man for you. This is not the ministry for you. You can tune out. You can turn the channel. You can turn us off, because I'm sure that for every remnant. Pastor, preacher, or evangelist out there, whatever, that's preaching this, I'm sure there's 10 others that are preaching a gospel that can tickle your ears. But if you want victory, if you want to hear truth, then stay tuned. Ephesians 5, NIV, the New International Version, Ephesians 5. Listen to this. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint. You hear me? Among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Paul said there shouldn't even be a hint of sexual immorality in our lives. Nor, listen to verse 4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving, for of this you can be sure. Now listen what he says, and this leads me to number 10. Number 10 reason why I want to make a covenant with my eyes, and that is, I want to know that I'm heaven bound. Listen to me. I want to know that I'm heaven bound. Listen to number 4. Listen to verse 5. For if this can be sure, you can be sure of this. This is what Paul says. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Listen to this. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath is coming upon those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in this world. Did you hear that? Let me read this again. He says you could be sure that you're no immoral person, no impure person, no greedy person, and no idolaters will have their place in the kingdom. In other words, I don't care what all these hyper grace preachers want to preach to you, friends. If you don't turn from these things and you don't ask God to deliver you from these things and help you by the Holy Spirit, come on and begin to make a lifestyle of repentance and turning from these things, then friends, you are not going to make it into the kingdom with an arrogant attitude, with this attitude saying that I can live how I want because grace has got me. I'm so tired of that stuff. Because it's leading people to hell, literally, leading people to hell. Well, this is gloom and doom preaching. This is legalism. Listen, honey, I'd rather you preach to me legalism, if you want to call it that, whatever you want to call this, legalism or doom and gloom. Listen, I'd much rather be on an altar somewhere weeping and asking God to forgive me and come and cleanse me any day than me sitting in a pew and be cold and callous and lukewarm. And my conscience seared with the hot iron, and I no longer can feel conviction. I no longer answer an altar call. I no longer have the desire to get right with God. I'm beating my wife. I'm committing adultery, looking at stuff I shouldn't be looking at, setting a poor example to my children. Oh, come on, come at me with that. Don't even go there with this stuff, guys. Come on. I believe most of you have enough sense to know the times and seasons in which we're in and why this. This teaching that we're inundated with today is leading people astray. Psalms 101 verses 2-4. David said, I'll behave wisely in a perfect way. He says, I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. I'll set nothing wicked before my eyes. Jude 24:24 says, now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Guys, the word of the Lord says this. God would have not put this in the Bible. He would have not put this in here. He wouldn't have said he's able to keep you from falling if it wasn't possible for you to get victory. Come on, quit listening to those preachers that tell you it's impossible. It's impossible to guard your eyes. Friend, Job was a man that was flesh and blood like you and me. He had emotions. He had a heart. He had a soul. He was not Jesus Christ. He was an individual like you and I. And if he made a covenant with his eyes, then he gives us an example. If Jesus said, listen, Jesus would have never commanded us to not look with lust if it was not possible. The Bible says with every sin, God makes a way of escape, that no man is tempted beyond what he's able to be tempted. And with every temptation, he will make a way of escape. Come on. If I've got somebody with me, now let me talk about the church for a second. I told you I would talk about this. Let me talk about the ladies. Now we've been whooping up on the men on this, but let me talk to the women for the next 5 minutes real quick. Come on. We've talked an hour and 45 minutes on the men. We're only going to give you 5 minutes for the women. So listen to me. It's one thing for men to deal with this outside of the church. But I don't know about you, but it grieves me when I come in the inside of the church and I'm seeing women. You listen to me, ladies. Women and even leaders in the church of women who are dressed with very provocative clothing. I'm talking about yoga pants and pants so tight that you could tell that she hasn't even shaved her legs in 5 days. Come on, I'm being funny here, but it's true. I'm talking about pants so tight. Okay? And you say, well, they can wear what they want if you're guarding your eyes. What difference does it make? True, that's true. We should be guarding our eyes. But really, are you going to provoke someone to sin? Even Paul talks about that in the New Testament. He says that if my liberality causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, he says, then it's sin. Or women walking around with shirts with their lungs hanging out. Come on. Things popping out here and things busting out here. And there's no decency. you know, and I'm not talking, I'm not saying that you have to wear dresses all the way down to your ankles and you have to wear long sleeves and you can't have any, your neck showing. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about use some common sense, ladies. I remember I talked to a security guard. And I'm not going to mention where he was an usher and a security guard. And I'm not going to mention the church or the city or anything out of wisdom. But I remember he said he went to a women's conference, went to a women's conference. And he said he could not believe what these women were wearing at a women's conference. He said he had to walk around like this the whole time because of the ridiculous outfits these women were wearing. Come on, somebody. Because here's the deal. If you go to the book of Revelation, Jezebel was in the church seducing prophets, not in the marketplace, but in the church. So here's a clue. You ready for this? Jezebel is always going to be found in the church. Come on. She's probably in the choir team. She's probably on the, or she's probably in the choir. She's probably on the praise team. She's probably in the helps. She might be on the pastoral staff. She might be on the elders. She might be a Sunday school teacher. She's probably sitting in a pew with you. But she's just like that woman in Proverbs 7. She wants to flatter. She wants to lure you with eyelids. Oh, she smells good. She always smells good. She's always looking good. You better watch out, young man. You better watch out, sir. That may sound spiritual. Listen, I was a part of a church where one of these women was not only influential in the church, but she was one of the teachers at the school of the church there at the church. But guess what she was? She was a Jezebel, but she was a witch. She was a Wiccan, and she ended up splitting the whole church because she committed adultery with the pastor. Yes, that's right. She committed adultery with the pastor of the church and split the church right down the middle. And I had to suffer the repercussions of that as a baby in Christ. This was years ago. This was 19 years ago. And I had to be exposed to that at an early age and a baby Christian. But I seen it firsthand. So I'm trying to help somebody today. Come on, we went 43 minutes. Let's pray for you real quick. Come on, let's just lift your hands where you're at or put your hand on your heart right now. Father, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice, every man and every woman that is serious about this message. And they say, Pastor, I want to make a covenant with my eyes. Help me to make a covenant with my eyes. I want to guard my eyes. I want to be faithful, and it begins with my eyes. I want to make a commitment that I will not lust with my eyes. I will guard my eyes. I will bounce my eyes. I will starve my eyes. I will keep them guarded at morning and evening and at the noonday. I will keep them guarded when I go to bed and when I rise up. I will keep them guarded on the computer, keep it guarded on the phone, keep it guarded in the public or even in the private. When everyone's watching and when no one's watching, when I'm walking in my house or I'm walking in the house of God, God help us, Lord, all of us, God, I include everyone in this prayer, God. Lord, give us the grace to achieve this. Give us the mercy that the Lord helps us as we begin this journey. And Lord, I know what it's like. I can testify when I begin to first start doing this, God. Lord, the enemy beat me up, or not even really the enemy, but my flesh whooped up on me, and I would go maybe a couple hours and then I would fail and I'd have to repent and get back up again. But then I would fail. I'd go a couple more hours and then fall and repent and have to get back up again. Then it would go a couple days and then I would fall and I would repent, have to go. But I kept pursuing, and then the strength came and the defense came, and then a day turned into 3 days, and then 3 days into 7 days, and then it turned into 2 weeks, and then it turns into a month. And eventually it takes more effort to look to lust than it does to resist. Come on, guys. You've got to bring your flesh into subjection. Holy Ghost, help us to do this. You would have not commanded us to possess our vessels with self-control. You would have not told us to purify ourselves if it were not possible to achieve. We can do this by the power of the Holy Ghost. We can do this by your grace, and we can do this by your mercy. And Father, I ask that you'd forgive every man and every woman that's watching this. And I feel like someone's watching this, and you right now, there's your heart is just is overflowing with repentance. Tears may be falling, and you're saying, God, forgive me. For I've failed in this area. I've failed in this. I've dropped the ball in this. I keep falling to pornography. I keep falling to lusting in my heart. I keep falling. Some of you, you're lurking at the door with adultery, with someone at your work, someone at your job, someone, and maybe even in the church, maybe it's your neighbor. You're flirting. You're lurking at the door, like in Proverbs 7. You're taking her path. You're walking by her direction. And it's in the darkness. It's in the deep, in the darkness, in the twilight. Nobody knows about this. Your spouse doesn't know about this. Your children don't know about this. Your pastor don't know about this because it's in the darkness. But God is reaching down into the dark places. And the Bible says those things which are hidden shall be revealed. And those things that's done in the darkness shall be made manifest to the light. But it's his mercy. It's his grace because he wants to reveal things that are in the hidden place so that God, he doesn't want you exposed in the public place. Before he ever exposes you in public, he'll deal with you in private. Come on, somebody. Lord, have your way, Holy Spirit. You see these hearts that are broken before you, and I ask God that you begin to restore these men of God, restore these women of God, restore these marriages, restore these relationships, restore these leaders, restore these pastors, restore these evangelists in Jesus' name, oh God. Lord, cover us with your blood. You said if we confess our sins and our faults one to another, you said even so, you said you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So God, I thank you for a clean slate and a fresh start today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Come on, guys, I hope you received this today. Listen, I got to go. We went 47 minutes into this. Endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com is our information branch, remnantrevival.org, remnantrevival.org. That's our ministry branch. We're two branches of one tree. If you like to, you can go to either one of them, write down those websites. You're watching by Facebook Live, click under support the ministry, or I'm sorry, under follow us. You can click on that. You can subscribe to push notifications or our website by email. If you'd like to support this ministry, if this ministry blesses you, it encourages you, it's a place that equips you, it is a place that lights your fire, it continues to teach you and informs you of the times and seasons in which we're in. However it is that this ministry blesses you, we want to give you an opportunity to support this ministry, sow a seed into this ministry, partner with this ministry, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, right there under Facebook Live, under every man's or under support the ministry. I'm sorry, you're going to see a link. Click on that link, and it'll bring you to a page, and you can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order to either End Time Headlines or Remnant Revival Ministries, and it's P.O. Box 2312. Clarksville, Indiana, and the zip is 47131. Again, we gratefully appreciate your support and your giving to this ministry to help us to remain strong and on the front lines. Again, we're coming to Cornerstone Community Church in Cordon, Indiana. Again, that's going to be on, we're going to be updating that on our website tonight, but that is on April 27th. Last time we said February. I don't know where I got February, but it's April 27th this month. It's on a Saturday night, 6 p.m. Eastern. Again, if you want more information on that, you can go to Cornerstone Community Church Cordon. They have a Facebook page. You can go there. And you can find more information on that, the directions and all that's there. And you can email them, and they can let you know where hotels, motels, or any places that you need to stay or whatever if you're traveling from out of town. We hope to see many of you there, and we're going to have a good time. And again, I'm bringing a prophetic message on that day. So I know all of you prophecy people will enjoy that. We're going to bring a prophetic message on that Saturday night at 6 p.m. Listen, speaking of prophetic messages, this Friday, Lord willing, I've got a message that I want to bring to you out of the book of Daniel. Some stuff that I have talked about a little bit more, but we're seeing this, and I believe this is something that this generation needs to be aware of. This is stuff I talk about to my 10, or well, he's 11 now. My 11-year-old son, he celebrated his 11th birthday yesterday. He turned 11 years old. But I share these things with him because I want to get him to know and understand the times and seasons of which we're in his generation. So you don't want to miss that. That'll be coming up again, Lord willing, this Friday. So we're going to take tomorrow off. Come back in here on Friday, and we'll bring a prophetic message this Friday as well. So we love you guys. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you soon.